Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome to the Robin Walters Show. God bless you all. We've got a packed program today. Boy, before we get rolling, I just have to remember to tell everybody that you can catch this on a podcast if you're not watching or listening to it on a podcast on any one of the forums or venues that are out there for podcasting. We are on virtually all of them. You just type in the Robin Walters Show with spaces between the words and you'll pull it up. If you're on rumble.com, you go to the search bar and it's Robin Walters Show, no spaces and no capitalization. So anyway, you got that. Pass it on because the program continues to grow. And if you want to write to me, you can. We've got two email addresses, but the one I'd prefer is robinwaltersshow@gmail.com. robinwaltersshow@gmail.com. Now, this has been an interesting last 24 hours because I had a program all prepared on what I sensed needed to be spoken or addressed. And it was largely focusing on the challenge we have, and the fact is that we are in a mess that I do not know how we can get out of because of our national debt. Yeah, I realize it's not a very stimulating topic, but it is so critical. And it's all prepared, except I'm not going to give that today. Because what happened? Well, what happens with increased frequency, and I'm thankful for it, in the middle of the night, more specifically, it seems like it is always between 2 and 2:30 that I am awakened with something which I sense to be from the Holy Spirit. And I have learned from failure enough times that I don't push it off. I don't say, God, could you just remind me in the morning? I'm wiped out. I'm exhausted. No, because it's not there in the morning. It has never been there in the morning when I've pushed it off. Not once. So when it happens, I just realize, okay, my sleep is not that important right now. I'll get up. I'll get out my notebook. And that happened this morning between 2 and 2:30, got out, and I wrote 5 pages of notes of stuff that just came to me, scripture, to explain some things of how biblical application is to be made to the situation with not just Ukraine and Russia, but to all events coming down the pike as we are entering into the last times, the end times. You need to hear this message. I do believe it's from him. And as far as that sleep thing, I've also found something else out that if I, so I'm awake from 2 to maybe 4, maybe 4:30. And I will, when I'm done, turn off the light. I ask God, would you take me back to sleep? And maybe I'm up at 6 or something of that sort. Maybe my day is flexible. I still work full time, but my time is flexible. And in that next hour or hour and a half, the last hour, hour and a half of sleep, he will give me the equivalent of 3 hours of rest. I don't miss a thing. The only thing that I would miss would be the Holy Spirit and what God would have to say if I don't get up and do it. So I just like to say this as an encouragement because I think many of us have had promptings by the Holy Spirit in the middle of the night, and we push it aside. We bury it. We try to say, there's just no way I'm going to forget this come morning. And come morning, it is gone because the Holy Spirit will take it away. And why would he take it away? Because you and I have put physical sleep ahead of hearing from the Lord. Don't do that. I've blown it too many times. I know whereof I speak on this topic. Okay, so I'm going to cover only one somewhat COVID-related topic, but it's actually a piece of good news because it ultimately does not apply to COVID. It has a whole different application. And I want to cover that, and then we are going to get into what the Lord has showed me about the Ukrainian-Russian conflict as an example of the application of the Word of God, not just to that, but to other conflicts and what we need to do going down the pike, as they say. For those of you who don't know what a pike is, I grew up fishing for pike in Michigan. And I guess if you're a pike fisherman, you're called a piker, right? No, I don't think so. But anyway, in the Mid-South, mostly that Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia area, the pike is a road. So we're going to go down that pike means going down that road. All right. Inquiring minds want to know. So here we go. This comes out of Austria. There are only a couple of places I actually would really like to visit. I do not have a wanderlust. Well, not anymore. I've kind of fulfilled that within the contiguous 48 states. But two places I have wanted to see. I've wanted to see Austria, to be, in part due to my affection for and my love of the movie The Sound of Music. That alone has caused me to want to do that, to see that. The other place, which is a totally different story, are the Cook Islands out in the South Pacific. That's, and I don't want to get into that, but I still would like to visit them. Maybe it'll never happen because, well, who knows. But Austria. Austria has been in the news in the last couple of months because they have become, next to Australia, the most militant anti-common sense, anti-vaccine, I'm sorry, the most pro-vaccine, anti-science, pro-mask, militant, mandatory Gestapo techniques against their citizens, which would include not just the threat of fines if they aren't vaccinated. This isn't just a vaccine mandate and a mask mandate. It is a vaccine mandate that is supposedly law to the point where people would get fined up to, I think, like the equivalent of $600 the first time, $4,000 the second time if they don't, if $600 if they're caught without the vaccine, but then they go get the vaccine. $600 if they are caught unvaccinated, but then they don't get the vaccine, caught again, now it's $4,000. Then it's a confiscation of your property, and then it's jail time or prison up to 1 year. This is how bad they were. This is how stuck on stupid Austria has been. They apparently learned nothing from Hitler because it's nothing short of a virtual Gestapo tactic. But there's one problem. There are 13% of the people, 1 million people said, forget it. Jail us, you Nazis. Go ahead and do that. 1 million people. Are you going to jail 1 million people? So the German magazine Der Spiegel came out and said, they, meaning Austria, switched and totally reversed the thing. Why? Because it wasn't working. The law had practically no effect, they said, on increasing vaccination for that 13% of the population that said, stick it. We ain't doing it. And so the whole thing ground to a halt because enough people stood their ground. Now, why did they stand their ground? This is where this story gets exciting and it becomes actually non-COVID related. I watched an interview by Art Moore of WorldNet Daily with a 28-year-old Austrian man by the name of Alexander Stugel. I think it's Stugel. I think that's how you pronounce it. T-S-C-H-U-G-G-U-E-L. You pronounce it. And then I get to laugh at you. Okay. This is a young man who said that, you know, he's part of the resistance. And he said the resistance is huge. I'm quoting Stugel, not Alexander. among the Austrian populace as 1 million people would be. He says, like nothing he has ever seen or has been seen in the lifetime even of his parents, who are obviously maybe in their 40s, 50s, maybe early 60s. He's 28. So he called out in this video the number of times that over the last couple of centuries, Austria has faced oppression. Whether it's, he said, the gates of Vienna to the Napoleonic era, and then on to the Nazi occupation, and then ending with the threat of communism. And as I heard somebody say the other day, interjecting here, that there is another variant to the COVID-19. And that variant that's coming, Omicron, we passed Delta, we passed Omicron. The next variant is socialism. Thought that was really, really insightful, because that's the goal. Well, anyway, I want to quote from Mr. Stugel. He said, "Always what brought us to a solution to the problems here in Austria was," you ready for this? "Prayer." He said that he would pray, others are praying, asking God, quote, "Please save us. We need your help now." And guess what happened? God has saved us. This coming out of Austria, the country which, along with much of Europe, I have written off. But I got to be careful about writing off countries, which now includes the U.S. Maybe we got to get worse before it gets better. Austria does not share a problem that we have, which I do not see how is certainly not as recoverable from in the natural, and that's our national debt, which is on another program. It is that serious. Austria doesn't have that problem. But Stugel goes on to say, faith, quote, "faith is what keeps people fighting. If you go to our demonstrations, hundreds of thousands of people there, and you see signs with Bible verses." I mean, this gives me goosebumps in Austria. And now I'm back wanting to go to that country. Not to live. Well, who knows what happens when you get there. He goes on to say, he said, these Austrians, those people, they need to understand that if you follow Christ, Christ expects that you be ready for a sacrifice. You don't have to bring the sacrifice he brought, because that's impossible. But he gives you your little cross to carry. And he goes on to basically say that it's a matter of being ready and willing, able to sacrifice one's reputation, one's assets, your money, your property. And when you get to that point of willingness, stepping out for the cause of Christ, now you'll get to see what God will do. It brings to mind that passage of Scripture, stand, watch, and see the salvation of God. But it starts with standing. He does that. I mean, can this turnaround occur in the United States? Well, when we've got 13% of the population not just not getting vaccinated, but absolutely standing up to the tyrannical der Fuhrer leadership, if you want to call that, of Mr. Biden. But I'm thrilled. I am absolutely thrilled when I read these kinds of stories. They cause me a sense of embarrassment as to what's going on in this country. But if it can happen in Austria, can it happen here? I would have to say yes, that's possible. But there's a requirement. Are the people in the United States actually willing to make the sacrifice, the ones who stand up to Der Fuhrer, or Joe Biden in this case. But do we stand up? Do we stand up for the right reasons like they are in Austria? Does it have to get worse to the point of you get vaccinated? Everybody has to. If you don't, you're going to get a little fine. If you don't get it, then you get a big fine. Then we take your property. Then we throw you in the big house, the slammer, the joint, up the river. All those terms for being imprisoned. Maybe it's got to get worse before we can get better. So, I consider this good news because somebody's doing something right somewhere. I want to move on to now using the Ukrainian-Russian conflict, and I say the conflict on purpose. And you're going to have to indulge me for just a couple of minutes here because I've got this little I got a problem when words are misused, and then they're misused so much the meaning has changed. Sort of like homophobic. That's a good example. Phobia is a fear. I don't fear queers. I don't fear people stuck in same-sex situations. I don't fear those who love sodomy and love that which God hates and are an abomination. I don't fear them, but they've turned the word into a hatred. It's not a hatred. A phobia is a fear. Xenophobia. Well, we go right on the line. Islamophobia. Don't fear Muslims. But they've turned that word into not fearing them to hating them. Or from fearing them into hating them. That's not what it is. Well, this is what's happened with the word war. Just please indulge me for just a second. We'll get on to the meat of this in a minute. War is not what's going on between Ukraine and Russia. It is not. A war is what you have when two sides go at it. That's not what's happening here. Japan bombs Pearl Harbor. We go after them. They go after us. World War II in Germany and throughout Europe. They come after innocent countries. We come back after them. They attack our positions. We attack them, maybe in North Africa. That is war. There are two sides. What's going on in Ukraine is a one-sided affair. It's war by Russia, but it is not a true war. It is a conflict attack. It's the minor incursion that Joe No Brains Biden talked about. But for the Ukraine, it's self-defense. It's only a war to Putin. But the Ukraine has attacked no one. Ukraine hasn't invaded anyone. Ukraine's not launching missiles into Russia. It is purely self-defense action. It's an assault by Putin, but it is not a war. It's self-defense by Ukraine. It is not a war. Let me give you an example. Suppose you got a bunch of thugs that break into your house. A couple of them are beating up your two sons. There's a couple of them that grab your wife and your 16-year-old daughter, and they proceed to rape them. You somehow escape. You go to the bedroom. You get your semi-automatic, and you come out, and you start toasting the assailants. You put them away. You send them to their next life, as well you should and well you deserve to be able to do that. You have the right to do that. Now, who would call that a brawl? Who would call that a melee? Who would call that a riot? Well, the woke left-wing mob would, right? They would. No, it's an attack. It's an assault. And what the husband has done here, the father has done, is an action in self-defense. So that's what's happening here. So anyway, now we got that terminology out of the way. Let's get down to the issues, the problems, and the application of Scripture to this conflict. First of all, the first issue that arises, the main issue is we have to be able to separate fact from fiction. How do you do that? Truth from lies. How do you do that? And in this case, how do you separate real journalism from fake news? How do you do that? How do you separate instruction from propaganda? Who's fact-checking the fact-checkers? This is an issue here. there is so much information going on that even the so-called fact checkers, the losers who censor the truth, can't tell what the truth is enough to be able to separate it themselves. And I'm concerned about DuckDuckGo, who said they're going to downrank misinformation. I'm very disappointed with them because it sounds like they have become Google Lite. Anyway, that's another story. But let me give you two examples. Just in the last week, many of you have seen this heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching video of the 5 or 6 year old boy all bundled up, trudging down a road with other people, crying, weeping, sobbing, pulling a little suitcase. No one is around him. No one is attending to him. And it is used as a description of the exodus from Ukraine by right down to the children. And it is a sad situation. It's a horrible situation. 2 million have fled, but it's only about 3% of the population. Still, we are still at the point where fewer people have fled Ukraine than illegals that have fled Mexico coming into the U.S. unabated, unchallenged. Another story, another day. What the news did not tell you or show you is that a very short distance, I just found this out, but did I really find it out? Who can I believe? I had some questions in my spirit, not in my head, whether this story was as true as the images appeared to be, for a couple of reasons. There were photographs and imagery, video taken of the child from different angles, one from behind, one from him approaching. It was very unnatural the way it was taken. I'm not questioning whether the tears were real. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. Maybe he dropped his ice cream cone back 100 yards, and that's why he's crying. I don't know, but the imagery is obviously to convey the point that he is orphaned. He is alone. His parents are behind or dead or something. And supposedly, from what I understand, digging deeper into this, his parents were only a few feet behind him, not in the video. The other thing that struck me odd was, now, if the Ukrainians are any kind of humanitarians, I'm not saying they aren't, why is this stray child of 5 and 6 years old trudging down the road, bawling, pulling a suitcase, and other people are walking ahead of him and paying no attention? They aren't running. They aren't fleeing. But would there not be one heart rendering within that crowd to assist a five or six-year-old bawling child, sobbing child? Except maybe they knew he wasn't alone and he was simply trudging ahead of his parents who were behind. And there's somebody else running a camera. So is the story that his parents were behind him false? Like I say, who's fact-checking the fact-checkers? When I saw it and heard it, yeah, it tore at my heart, and yet there was something in my spirit that questioned the legitimacy. Now let me move on to example number two, and we'll get down to some spiritual application. Number two, the bombing of the children's hospital, and I think it's Mariupol or something like that, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, in Ukraine. And the photo shows a bombed-out building, 3 stories tall, looked like kind of the World War II era Eastern European building. Ravaged outside, burned car, everything's burned to a crisp. Nothing is moving, nothing is living. I mean, it's a picture, obviously nothing's moving. And it is this children's hospital, which apparently also had a maternity ward in it of some sort. Now, here's what I struggled with when I saw the photo. is it true or is it not? Now, the Russians are saying that the Ukraine bombed their own building. They set fire to their own building to get support internationally for what's going on. Well, the Russians ought to know, because Putin himself was behind the bombing of their own apartment buildings in 1999, and this is fact, and then blamed it on the Chechens for two reasons. Number one, so that the Russian parliament would give Putin more power, which is what he was really after, which he's never surrendered, to then go take out the Chechens. But he was behind the bombing of their own apartment buildings where 144 people died in one. And where did Putin learn that from? Adolf Hitler, who bombed the Reichstag, which was the lower legislative body in Berlin, and blamed it on the communists for two reasons. One, so that he could gain more power, which they gave to him. And number two, he could begin to launch wars and attacks in the name of dealing with communists, starting with alleged communists inside Germany. Fact. These dictators learn from history. So did Ukraine do that themselves? I don't think so, but I don't know. I really don't know. But here's why I had a check in my spirit. Because afterwards, I forgot the agency who is not on the side of Russia. Forgot the agency said that 37 children have died since Russia attacked and invaded the Ukraine. If that hospital were full of children, there would be three times that number that died just in that attack. But there's absolutely no reference in the story to any children dying. I mean, there aren't Russians running around. The hospital wasn't taken under control. The Ukrainians could go in there immediately and identify all of the children that died in that attack, but there is absolutely no word, at least not as of this morning, as to how many died. If there were 193 that died, would they have not released those numbers? Now, does it mean that they blew it up themselves? No, it doesn't mean that. But it might mean that Russia bombed a children's hospital that had already been vacated. But we don't know the fact from fiction here. Who's fact-checking the fact-checkers? The building itself, is it photoshopped from World War II? Photoshopping is happening all the time. They'll put a real storyline under an old photo. I don't know. Or what is Russian propaganda? If that were an empty children's hospital and Russia bombed it, which seems to be the most likely situation, it's still despicable. It is. But it's not the story that seems to be heralded in the news. Well, when we return, we're going to go from these two examples to the two problems. And we are going to get right down even deeper to what's going on. Don't go away. Robin Walter, The Robin Walter Show. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or go to robinwalter.net and use PayPal. That's The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or robinmalter.net and use PayPal. Thank you.
We are back. This is the Robin Walter Show. So we've gone from these two examples to a couple of problems. First of all, are both countries corrupt? Well, there's a lot of evidence that there's a lot of corruption. Who's the most corrupt? Probably Russia, because he's a dictator. Zelensky is not. Doesn't mean there isn't a ton of corruption in the Ukraine. There probably is. But which one is more corrupt? I don't know. Depends who you believe. And it's kind of an interesting thing here that the media has taken an exclusively pro-Ukrainian position, whitewashing corruption that we do know has occurred in Ukraine. Oh my gosh, this just struck me. Why would they take the Ukrainian side? Oh my goodness, this just came to me. Because if they revealed the depth of corruption in the Ukraine, even though that depth of corruption is less than the depth of corruption in Russia, guess what? Holy moly. It gives credence to the Hunter Biden story. Can you spell Hunter Biden? If Ukrainian corruption is real, then the Hunter Biden story is real, which we know it's real. It is corrupt. Joe Biden is corrupt. He's a mega millionaire because of Chinese and Ukrainian corruption. Worse than Russia? No. But the fact is, if it were pointed out, it would give credence to the fact that the mainstream media had been lying and covering up and concealing the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, money laundering practically is what it turned out to be, corruption with Ukraine. Sheesh. So, is Putin a liar? Is Zelensky a liar? Who's the most corrupt? How many liars do we have? Well, Zelensky may not be telling the truth all the time or some of the time, but we can't prove him to be lying. We don't have that hard proof. We don't. So he kind of gets one up. Putin, we can absolutely prove to be lying. No question about it. So how many liars do we have? Two? Or do we have three? The fact of the matter is, we have two known liars. Vladimir Putin and Joe Biden and the Biden administration. I want to read you something here that comes from David Kopelian, a great writer with WorldNet Daily. He hearkened here the other day back to the so-called State of the Union lie. It's not an address. It was a State of the Union lie. He said Biden in his early, and I'm quoting, Biden early in his speech signaled the litany of absolute lies that would follow. Biden lied when he said, "We prepared extensively for the Russian invasion of Ukraine." Lie. He lied when he said corporations and the wealthiest Americans aren't paying their fair share of taxes. Lie. And that Donald Trump's tax cuts helped only the rich. Lie. He lied when he said my plan to fight inflation will lower your costs and lower the deficit. Lie. I'm just my own ad. What a plan for lowering. Here's how I'm going to deal with inflation. I'm going to lower your costs. Gosh, can you be any more stupid than the idiotic, moronic imbecile that is called President of the United States? He said he lied when he said anyone earning less than $400,000 per year won't have to pay more taxes. He lied when he said Americans' right to vote is under assault. He lied when he said gun makers are immune from prosecution. And he lied when he referred to abortion as health care. He lied about everything. And I'm continuing the quote. Joe Biden is, in fact, one of the worst liars ever to serve in high office in America. Many politicians lie when they have to. That is to cover up some crime, sin, or failure. But Biden, like Hillary Clinton, revels in lying for the lie's sake. He lies and makes things up that never happened, not to cover up some failure, embarrassment, but just because he loves to lie. And he's no different than Pelosi, Schumer, and the rest of them. And Harris. Yeah, he threw that Harris in there too. So we got two liars, Putin and Biden. Known liars. Zelensky, it's up for grabs. So if you have a lying media and a pathological liar who calls himself president, can the media or the president ever tell the truth? It's a great question. And the answer, though, is easy. Yes, they can tell truths when it benefits their cause. So I'm going to ask the question, does the devil ever tell the truth? He's called the father of lies. And I'll get to it in a minute. Actually, yes, the devil sometimes does tell the truth. And I'll explain that in a second. But he doesn't start there. If he can deceive, he will move that way. That's what the media, if it doesn't lie, Biden, if he doesn't have to deceive anymore because the media isn't there to call him out on the lies. He's moved from outright deception to lying. Let me give you an example. So Genesis 3:1, you have the situation where Satan comes and tempts Eve, right? The serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Yea, hath God really said? This is the lie, but it's really rooted in deception for the enemy. Did God really say that? This is the media, the deception. Did this really happen? Well, I'll tell you what really happened. They start with a deception. They end with a lie. But along the way, if there's a convenient truth, they'll use it. They won't cover, as Al Gore would say, the inconvenient truth. They will use truth conveniently to further an evil purpose, an evil motive. And so how did he deceive Eve? I'm just going to cover this real briefly. Man, I got to get going here. He said, yea, hath God really said? Well, God did really say that, but he's questioning God. And why is he approaching Eve? Because God didn't say that to Eve. God said it to Adam. Eve was not there when God gave Adam the instruction to not eat of that tree. So when Satan says to her, yea, did he really say that? What's in the back of her mind? Scripture doesn't say this, but you can figure it out. She'll be thinking, well, I don't actually know that he really said that because I didn't hear him say that. Adam told me that. God didn't tell me that. Adam told me that. Let me give you an even better example to explain this concept. You remember the program, Leave It to Beaver? I was not of an age to remember that program when it came out, although I do remember it at the tail end of that program. So you had Wally, the good boy who always did everything right, and you had the beaver, and the beaver was this kid who always would get in trouble, sometimes not tell the truth, but he was a good kid. He was endearing. He even told a lie with a smile on his face. You knew that he knew he was lying and he felt guilty. Your heart went out to the beaver. And then, of course, there was June Cleaver, the mother, right, who radically altered my sense of what married life should be, even at an early age. That early of an age, I thought, gosh, that's the kind of wife I'd like to have. She's vacuuming the living room in high heels. Well, that's another story for another day. Anyway, so suppose June says to Wally, as he's heading out the door, just going to school, Wally, tell Beaver when you see him today to not stop at the candy store. Don't buy any candy on the way home because it'll spoil his supper. So Wally does that. But on the way home, there's a beaver runs into a kid by the name of Eddie Haskell. Remember Eddie Haskell? The bad guy, the sinister guy, the guy who's always sneaking around and telling half-truths and lies and so forth. He goes, hey, Beav, let's stop at the candy store, get some candy. Beaver says, Eddie, I can't. My mom said to not stop at the candy store for any candy. And what does Eddie say? Eddie said, Beaver, Your mom didn't say, did your mom really say that? She didn't say that. Basically, how do you know, Beaver? Well, Beaver only knows not because his mom told him, but because Wally told him. See, first, he wasn't first-hand information. It was second-hand. So Beaver goes by the candy, and he's deceived. Eve is deceived, and she goes and eats of the forbidden fruit. Getting an idea of how the deception works? Now we're going to get on to, in a minute, when does Satan tell the truth? When does the media tell the truth? When does Joe Biden tell the truth? We'll be right back. Don't go away. This is Robin Walter, and this is a first for me. You know, in 16 years on the air, I have never promoted a product because I hear others do it. And truth be known, they say they use the product, and, well, they did once. But I want to introduce you to Dissident Soaps, a fine company promoted by Gab News because it's a moral, patriotic American company that makes fine products. Absolute best deodorant I have ever used. Great shampoo, and they even have me now using body wash, which is not, always a guy thing. But check them out online at DissidentSoaps.com. That's Dissident, D-I-S-S-I-D-E-N-T, if you graduated from a government school like me, .com. But be sure and tell them that you heard it on the Robin Walters Show.
Down home, where they know you by name and treat you like family. Down home, a man's good word and a handshake are all you need. Folks know, if they're falling on hard times, they can fall back home. Those of us raised up down home.
Okay, so does the devil ever tell the truth? After all, he's the father of lies, right? Can he tell the truth? Can Joe Biden, far as I'm concerned, demon-possessed? Putin, who knows? The guys are liars, consummate liars, pathological liars. But can they ever tell the truth? Yes, when it's going to benefit them, they can. I'm going to take you to a passage, Acts 16, verses 16 through 18. And I'm just going to read it to you. It's easier to read it than to explain it. And it came to pass as this is Paul, went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. In other words, she's demon-possessed. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. Okay, this woman was demon-possessed. Was she telling the truth? Quote, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Absolute truth. This is the father of lies saying an absolute truth. Which raises the question then, if she's telling a lie and she's demon-possessed, I'm sorry, she's telling the truth, but yet she's demon-possessed, how can the father of lies tell a lie? We know. How can he tell the truth? Because if the truth is told with an evil intent, well, the truth is told where it ultimately perverts something else, it is evil. If the truth is told with evil intent, it's evil. It's a lying motivation. And so why does Paul not do anything about it? Why does he wait? Why does it take so long for him to deal with this vexing, annoying spirit? I can only suggest that it took a matter of time for him spiritually to know. She told the truth. He wouldn't try to cast the devil out of somebody who came up. Behold, these men are saying this. They hold the word of truth and show us the way of salvation. If that happened, would he do it? No. But if she keeps doing it and keeps doing it, she becomes annoying. She becomes obnoxious. Then the spirit behind the person, coming from the person, becomes obvious. And he has to act. In other words, she went overboard. This incessant truth-telling reveals a spirit that was behind the statement. She went overboard. I mean, I was a claim adjuster for a few years after I got out of college. And when I would meet with somebody and they said, you know, I've never had a claim in my life. And I said, well, fine. Thank you for that. But about the third time they said, I've never had a claim in my life, I knew something was up. Either A, they were lying, or B, they weren't lying, but they tried to gain an illicit favor with me to overpay their claim by showing what a good dues-paying insurance customer they were by never having filed a claim before. In other words, they may have told the truth, but with an evil intent to usurp the opportunity, or use the opportunity, to collect more than they really should. So like Paul, there's times that maybe we have to hear something long enough for the truth to emerge, for the media to go so overboard, we now know who really is and isn't telling the truth. Sort of like Shakespeare, "Methinkest that thou dost protest too much." Or Jesus said, don't act now to try to separate the wheat and the tares. Time will reveal who's the wheat and who's the tares. This all has application. It will emerge. But the word, I mean, so between a half-truth, the lies, the deception of the media, the deception is where the enemy starts. And did not Jesus say in each one of the Gospels at the end times, the first thing Jesus says in each of the disciples, or in each of the Gospels, talking about the end times is what? Do not be deceived. Matthew 24:26 says there are false prophets that will arise to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. Now, some people will say, see, it's not possible to deceive the elect. That's absolutely wrong. Absolutely false. Can the elect be deceived? Sure. What is being said here in Scripture is not, says if possible, meaning if he can get away with it, he's going to deceive the elect. Have you ever been deceived? Are you elect and have you ever been deceived? Have you ever given to a ministry that you thought was really great and you find out that it was, you got duped, you got deceived? That's just one example. And number two, if it were impossible to be deceived, why would Satan even try? And number three, Eve. Eve was sinless. Sinless. And she was deceived. So, how do you help from being deceived? You've got to know the Word of God. Because I will say this, the degree of deception is proportionate and equal to your degree of ignorance. The Word says, my people are what? Destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Destroyed. So, who is evil here? Who can we figure out to be right? Who can we figure out to be wrong? You've got this Russian cleric, head of the Russian Orthodox Church, that says that Russia is right. And why are they right? Because Ukraine is embracing Western ideology, most of important of which is they are launching into the support of queer sex, sodomy, gay pride parades. This is the patriarch, the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, says, quote, pride parades are designed to demonstrate that sin is merely one variation of human behavior. His name is Kirill, Patrice Kirill. That's why in order to join the club of the Western countries, you have to have your gay pride parades. You have to have loyalty tests, he goes on to say. That's why the breakaway regions of the Ukraine, which are under Russian control, have rejected the Ukraine's pro-queer and growing queer ideology, if you will. Now, they don't have homosexual marriage yet in the Ukraine. So where does this take us? How do you believe whom? You have to know the Word. B, you have to be able to rightly apply the Word of God. And I want you to look briefly at a passage of Scripture in the Bible, Genesis 14, 1 through 12. You know what? I may have to finish this in the next program. I don't think I can fit this all in. And I think it's too important. to be able to parse this out. Go, you know what? I'm going to give you a homework assignment. You read Genesis 14, verses 1 through 12. And this is going to give you an instruction. This is what came to me in the middle of the night. That there are times when you have to decide whether you're going to help out somebody who's evil. How do you know whether to help out somebody that's evil when the other side is also evil? And it covers the first war recorded in the Bible. Maybe I could fit this in. And it's the four kings against the five kings. This Chedorlaomer, who was one of four kings, was taking over territories, confiscating land. And then there were five kings, two of which were the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, wicked cities, who were pushing back on Chedorlaomer, who then attacked them. And guess where Lot is living? He's living in Sodom. And as a result, he gets carried away, family gets carried away. Chedorlaomer is wicked. Sodom and Gomorrah are wicked. It's four wicked kings against five wicked kings. And who does Abram, then called Abram, not Abraham yet, step in? He steps into this battle. It wasn't a fight of his except for one thing. His nephew Lot and Lot's family was taken captive. So he stepped in. He took the side of one of the evil sides to be able to free his beloved nephew. It's sort of like the Bloods and the Crips. I don't even know if they'll know the Bloods and the Crips are even still around. Both bad. Both slice and dice you if you look sideways at them. They hated each other, kill each other, rape each other's girlfriends, and so forth. Would you ever get involved in a matter between the Bloods and the Crips? Of course not. You stay out of that, like Proverbs 26:17. You do not meddle in another person's affairs. It's like picking up a dog by the ears. But when would you take the side of the Bloods against the Crips? If the Crips saw your 16-year-old sister at a stoplight minding her own business, opened the door, dragged her out of the car, and abducted her. Now it's not a somebody else's matter. Well, you would step in on the side of the horrible Bloods to take the side of the Bloods to attack the horrible Crips so you can get your 16-year-old sister back or daughter or what have you. It's what Abram did when he took the side of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you want to know something? Both of those kings were killed. Of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah died. So there are times when you may defend those who are corrupt, but you only do it when you have an established, legitimate reason to do so. Right? There was one in Sodom and Gomorrah, was one in my Blood and Crip example, but if you don't have an established, legitimate purpose for being there, we don't have an army base, we don't have a bunch of detached and assigned Americans in Ukraine, you stay out of that matter because it's like picking up the dog by the ears. But what if one side is actually worse than the other? You've got one where the mainstream media supports one. There's Photoshop, lying, deception, half-truths go on. That's where you have to give it time, like I said with Paul. And in the process of time, when the tares and the wheat grow up, you will know which is which. You will know that when one side protests too much, that they are the wrong side, the bad side. The Holy Spirit will help reveal to you those who are telling the truth, but with an impure motive, because they talk too much, they push it too much, and the devil will overplay his hand. Do not be deceived. And remember that in these end times, and I am going to do a program entirely on this, that you will have to have the Holy Spirit direct you. Like it says in the book of Isaiah, it says when there's a voice that's behind your ear saying, turn left or turn right. You won't find instruction in the Word. There's a lot of instruction in the Word, some of which I just gave you. Like out of this battle of Genesis, how do you know when to get into a battle and take sides between two sides, both of which are evil? Only if you have a stake in the matter. If there's one side that's good and another one that's evil, then we may step in. Maybe. Maybe it's not clear, but you need the Holy Spirit to direct you. You need to pray. How do I know? How, help me, Lord, when the spirit of deception prevails. Don't let me rush to judgment, but quicken my spirit so that I know that maybe this picture of the crying child is not real. Maybe I know that the bombing is not real. Direct us. We will need it because not every direction we will need to take is going to come from the Word of God. You will need to know the Word of God through and through so you're not destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And where the Bible doesn't cover it specifically, you have to know and have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit or you're going to get worked over by the enemy. Rob Walter encouraging you, sit tall in the saddle, world. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. Talk to you later.